Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, kids, here we go. What's up, Doc? And it's a Wednesday morning. Man, you'd think it was like the time for the Real World of Money show. I don't know how that works like that. Every Wednesday, we talk about financial stuff. Money. How it works, what it is, what it isn't. These days, with central banks and fiat currencies and debt what are those other things Andrew Goss called when you just make bets? The 4 point. What's that word? It's derivative. Derivatives.
Gambling.
Gambling. Man, Andrew Goss, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous.
You're fab? You sound fab?
Fabulous.
Well, yes. We just have no idea what money is. I mean, just remember the day. I mean, even 50 years ago, we just had like money and people had dollars and, you know, you bought stuff and there you go. But boy, I tell you, man, it's just. We have no idea with the central banks and their ability to what they call quantitative easing, right, which is money printing and monetizing debt and all this stuff that's going on. It's just one big kind of, I mean, my head's about to explode reading about what's going on.
You're not supposed to understand it. You're not supposed to understand it.
Oh,
it's
not.
It's too complicated. Leave it to the experts. Forget about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but our listeners around the world, I mean, you know, they're dealing mostly with dollars, you know, or
and
euro.
They should be.
You know,
sure.
And they're trying to save and make sure that they don't, you know, run out of money because they're living a long time listening to us. And,
right.
Well, hey, I don't know. Man, I'm okay because I know I'm just going to keep working until I fall over. So I don't. It doesn't bother me, you know.
Right.
But a lot of people, you know the feeling, right? But
a lot of people don't feel like doing anything anymore.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people just want to go down to Florida and have little drinks with umbrellas in them. And I get that, you know. But boy, if you don't really know what's going on as far as what your money's worth, it's just tough, man.
Virtually impossible.
What's that?
I mean, think about it in 1967, if you would have saved your entire paycheck every single week, you know, your whole $200 a week, and you figured you're just going to save every dollar and live in a cave. Today, it won't buy a tenth of what it bought then?
Yeah, you got nothing going on.
So if we extrapolate that going forward, even if you saved 100% of your pay every week, you're assuming you're a working person. It's only going to buy a tenth of what it's worth 30 years from now. So as cheap as a dollar is now, imagine what it's going to be 30 years from now.
Yeah, we just have no idea what it'll buy. Do you got a lot of background noise going on there? What am I hearing?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Let me get rid of that for you.
Okay. If you'd like to be on the show, is Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. How we doing?
Best I can do.
Best you can do. Yeah, there was just a lot of clacking going on or something. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I got my screen door open. The birds are chirping.
Oh, I see.
The guys are out working in the courtyard.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good now. So let's see if we can paint the big picture. I can't tell you how many of the blogosphere out there are using words like catastrophic, biblical, Great Depression 0.2. Are these guys just selling blogs, or do they see something, I mean, really big in the wind here, or is it just another bunch of crashaholics, you know, with too much coffee?
Well, if the assumption is that
I like my question.
If the powers that be are going to sit by or sit on their hands, it could be of catastrophic.
Oh, you mean if the central banks aren't going to ease?
Ease.
Be a kind of
accommodative.
Yeah, they're not going to accommodate my. If they're not going to print money to take care of everything. It would be in a world hurt, right?
Right, I think. I mean, look at 10-year and 30-year treasury yields up like for the fourth day in a row.
What does that mean?
So, Well, what does it mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means when yields go up, price goes down.
The price on the bonds go down.
Correct.
Okay.
But here, we've talked about this briefly as it relates to corporates and municipal bonds and things of that nature. So, what happens if a major credit rating knocks down the U.S. government's AAA rating on its debt?
You tell me, Tonto, what would happen? It would be a bad thing. Because you taught us the pension funds can't hold these.
That's right.
Ooh, yeah, that gets really ugly.
Ooh, yes.
Really ugly. Of course, wouldn't the Fed just buy everything that the pension funds sell?
Well, they would have to.
Okay, well, then who cares?
Which means quantitative easing.
Yeah, that's right. So tell folks what you're talking about. So say there's a California pension fund.
Let's say there's $22 trillion federal government.
Yeah, so somebody lowers the bond ratings, and then the California pension fund that say has a trillion, okay?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And they say, well, we got to sell. This is in our charter, right? We can't hold triple B's. So we're going to sell.
Cannot hold anything less than triple A.
Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Say, well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. Well, no problem. We're just going to create a trillion on the Dell 501AB computer here and trade you quantitative easing. We'll create the money and we'll buy those trillion. I mean, so who cares? I mean, problem solved.
Well, yes, exactly. And this is also the view of what's our darling in Congress now, the new darling of the left.
Oh, you mean Occasional Cortex.
That's her.
Occasional Cortex. I know her.
So she suggests free college, minimum basic income. Sure. Don't even get off the couch. We'll wire it right into your phone. A litany.
Universal health care.
Right?
70% tax rate on all the rich dudes, right?
Well, only on the rich. You don't have to worry.
Well,
about
she's going to get elected with a platform like that. That's a problem.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
That's what we were warned about by our forefathers. Once the people figure out that they can vote themselves they want, then anybody with money is doomed.
Doomed.
You're doomed.
You're doomed, man.
Be doomed.
Wow, really?
It's a scary prospect. So if they create $70 trillion worth of debt in order to fund this, retrofitting every building in America, knocking out the greenhouse gas, eliminating coal and gas-fired operations of all sorts, everything from automobiles to power generation. So we have to create $70 trillion worth of bonds to pay for all that. And then the Federal Reserve simply creates $70 trillion worth of money and gives it to us. But that would cause the national debt to quadruple. And I'm sure it'll be over time. But more importantly, the supply of money instantly in circulation. Sure, the 70 wouldn't all go in at once. Maybe only 10 would go in initially.
And that's on top of 15 over the last 2 years, right? I just thought I'd throw that in.
A trillion here, a trillion there, pretty soon.
Wow.
You're talking about real money.
Well, yeah. So, is it possible that we are looking at, I mean, this is really interesting if you think about it, that we're looking at the boys crashing the whole thing because they want Donald Trump out, right? And then Bernie runs on a platform with Occasional Cortex or somebody as their running mate, and then they just go full-blown socialist thing, and this whole thing just, whoa. I mean, is that possible? That's possible.
I suppose you could probably
win an election if you just promised enough stuff, man, because the people don't know how it works.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of weird.
They really don't.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to think about it, you know.
And maybe we don't want to think about March when it's only January, right? But in March, we hit the debt ceiling once again.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And you know the president's going to, you know, do something, you know, with that.
I love the position where he is.
You do? With the wall thing and all that?
Well,
or just,
you know,
in general.
The devil's in the details. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I really don't want to alert the other side, so to speak. But once, according to federal employment rules, of course, with the government running as it normally does, You cannot fire anybody, as we found out, right? Your tenure rules and all these things that apply to the federal government workers, it's very difficult for the president to reduce in force, RIF. Unless, of course, there's a furlough that lasts 30 days, and then he could just fire people. Sorry, government's been closed for 30 days, so this furlough can now become a termination, and we're going to reduce RIF. It's known as a reduction in force. And so you don't have a job anymore. Now, because of your seniority, you can take someone else's job that's lower than you, but eventually, they run out of jobs, people just have to stay home. So I hope he takes advantage, especially if we go five or six more days. Right?
Yeah. Did you see where President said he wants to bring back about 50,000 people tomorrow or something like that because we need them? I think it's the IRS.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like their time.
So he needs to process everybody's tax refund or they're going to freak out.
And here's the headline. Trump orders 46,000 furloughed federal workers to return to work. But then there's some issue that maybe you can't even legally do that. Just pick out 46, whatever. So who knows? Essential, joining the ranks of 420 essential federal workers who have been working through the shutdown. Is there 800,000 that are off right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to bring back 46. I think it's from, they say, let's see. But according to Bloomberg, they're saying that this could constitute a violation of the 1870 Anti-Deficiency Act, which prohibits federal agencies from spending money that hasn't been explicitly appropriated by Congress.
The power of the purse.
Yeah, right. Yeah, power of the purse. But then it would take the Justice Department to deal with that, but they're off too. So, what can I say? They must be having fun up there in Washington these days.
The longer they're off, the more we realize how little they do.
Yeah, and, of course. Yeah.
As citizens.
Is it really 800,000 people?
Right. What do they do? Please explain to me what their job is.
My trash keeps getting picked up, and I haven't been attacked by ISIS, so I don't know what to tell you.
With anything. Right. What do they do? Somebody tell me what they do.
What do you guys do?
So we have a lot of government workers whose job is on such a long timeline that we don't notice if they don't come to work.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what's happening. Typically, when they do this sort of thing, they really want us to feel it. And so they do their best to close the things and keep you off of things that, like going to a national park is a perfect example. So we make sure we close those and don't let people in because that's where they touch the federal government the most.
I had this idea when Mr. Trump was elected regarding the money and all that stuff, Andrew, that this was kind of like a, and I said it, but nobody understood what it's kind of like a divine intervention kind of thing.
Yes.
Because this is what it's going to take to detox and have,
Let's figure out what we're really supposed to be doing because we've lost sight of what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, this guy could be the impetus to look at all the blemishes in the system. Yeah. Maybe that's his karma dharma,
It's not gonna be, maybe.
Not going to be fun for him, but, oh, well.
Yeah.
He chose to do it. Wow. Well, so this whole thing with the central banks and the position they're in, let's talk about that because I think if FICO could really understand because they are controlling the game at this point with their monetary injections, right?
Correct.
This is what's running the whole thing. The whole $15 trillion in the last 2 years created on a computer is what really drove up the stock market, pretty much.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Yeah. Global markets, right?
Yes.
Because we're talking about ECB, the BOJ, and the FOMC, right? Federal Open Market Committee.
Let's not forget China.
China, too. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do a big picture for us, like you had a whiteboard, and what they're looking at, and, raising rates, and how this could engineer. I mean, it's almost like they could be engineering something terrible just because, they're bored.
They're bored.
They want to get rid of President Trump,
Well, if they want to get rid of President Trump, they can easily do it here. Because people vote, as we heard last time, they vote with their wallet, right? They vote with their wallet. So you might not like the guy's personality or his haircut, but, you know, if he's doing good for your wallet, you're reelecting him.
Right.
But if he's doing bad in your wallet, well, you don't reelect him.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
And you could see in November 2020, if the stock market is half as what it is today, and you know,
Interest rates are up another full percent.
We do go into some recession, as some people think. So you think we're going to do a real-time recession during this first term here?
Well, remember, government spending is 30% of GDP, right? Did you know that?
Wow, 30%.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, in the last shutdown. Sure.
Yeah.
So it's roughly a third, if you will, of GDP is government spending. So the longer the government is shut down and not spending money, the more that has a negative effect on GDP. So looking at the budget and the finances of the whole thing, I calculate that President Trump, can keep government shut down until October. Can you imagine? October?
Yeah, but how are 800,000 people going to make their house payments? I mean, that's
they'll be out of a job. Hence the cut to GDP and the that, of course.
What do you mean? You think he's got the will to do the whole thing and just cut him?
It depends how bad he wants to stay president.
Huh?
If he wants to stay as the president of the United States in 2020, then he better not buckle on securing the border.
Well, you know he wants
to stay. That's why he got elected.
So that might be why he won't buckle.
That could be why he'll never buckle. And the other side that won't buckle, because they would rather burn the town to the ground than give this guy a victory. That's it. They would do anything to stop him from achieving his number one campaign promise, which was build that wall. Build it tall. And, you know, in reality, I never expected it to be some big brick wall. Everybody's thinking like Great Wall of China. I knew it would be something much more modest, but just as effective.
So you think he's politically tied into this thing? If he would buckle on that, he's cooked.
Yeah.
He's cooked.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, his people in 2020, they got lying,
Another lying politician.
Right.
You lied and breed my lips. Yeah. No new taxes. Right. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know what happened to H.W.? He promised us, if he hadn't promised us so hard that he would not raise taxes, then a tax increase might have been, he could have said, I'll try my best to not raise taxes, you know, anything like that. But instead, he said, remember, read my lips.
Oh, yeah, it was like,
no new taxes. Well, that's just about as adamant was as Mr. Trump was, President Trump, when he said, I'll build that wall. Build that wall. Build a wall, build it tall, and I'll build a wall. So if he doesn't, or if he just backs down, I think everyone who voted for him on that basis will just ignore him beyond that.
So let's say the Federal Reserve, Fed, Powell doesn't do anything. He just kind of he's got to do something. He just got to lay
there.
There's
no way he's not going to do anything.
He's got to do something because they created the bubble, right? They created the bond bubble, the corporate debt bubble, the student loan bubble. They've created all these bubbles through low interest rates, practically zero, for how many years? Five, six, seven?
Right. Yeah. A decade.
Well, a decade, that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that means they created it. They're going to have to do what?
Well, take away the punch bowl just when the party's getting fun, as, of course, McChesney Martin said all those years ago. So that's the Fed's job, to stop the speculation. How do we stop people from buying shares, you know, because they think they're automatically going up? Well, we raise the rate that they have to pay for the money that they borrow to do this.
Which is what the federal funds rate is, right?
Right. When we were at ZERP, you remember?
ZERP.
Zero interest rate policy.
Right.
It's like, take all the money you want. What's the cost? Nothing. Zero. Zero. So now that it's costing a couple percent, well, we're going to think about what we're going to do with it. And so there's not as much speculation as there would otherwise be. So that's the theory there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the running down of the balance sheet, that's the contraction of Have you looked at the H-4-1 release? Just for giggles.
I can pull that guy up. Tell folks now, the balance sheet is they're burning off about $50 billion a month. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, $50 billion a month.
Over the last year, $388 billion. Over the course of the year, was sold off. Well, it wasn't sold. It matured and it ran off. So we had these 1 and 2 year bonds that were coming due. And so we,
let them
expire, paid them off. The federal government paid them off. And then the money was withdrawn from circulation.
Mm-hmm. If you all want to play along, you just put an H-4-1 release in Google and pull up, and you can see January 10, 2019, and the balance sheet is $4 trillion.
Second line, third column, is securities held outright.
A weekend, and that's January 10th?
Yeah, down $10 billion. And for the year.
Oh, I see. You mean $10 billion from last week?
Yeah, $10 billion from last week $355 billion from last year.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
So you go down to factors supplying reserve funds, you'll see $388 billion less in circulation than there was last year at the same time.
So that's what they call tightening. So the Fed,
that's more than tightening. Yeah. That has nothing to do with interest rates. That has to do with money removed from the balance sheet, removed from circulation.
Oh, that's right. Okay. It has to do, nothing to do with the interest rate thing. But that's squeezing down the balance sheet, which takes $400 billion?
Yes.
Off the table.
Off the table.
Dollars that are not looking for a home.
All right. Now let's go to the next one, though, because this is important. The next set of figures, factors affecting reserve balances of depository. Okay.
Number one.
Now, what this is pluses or minuses, currency in circulation. Did we increase that or decrease the amount of money in circulation? So we're going to take electronic money and we're going to turn it into paper money, which you wouldn't think there would be much of a need for that, given that we're all going electronic,
right?
But when we look at the first line, third column, we'll see that mysteriously the $100 billion in cash was just added by the Federal Reserve.
From last week?
Oh, that's the same thing last year. Last week, looks like they took out $3,587,000,000. Minor number.
Oh, I see. That's down at the bottom. Yeah.
No, that's right next to it. So you got the change
from the
second column is the week ending, and the third column is the year end.
So they're minus $3 billion out of circulation, that they burned in their fireplace, and then they're $100 billion. Hmm. So I guess they just send those to the banks and stuff like that, and so they have cash if people want cash.
Yeah. But there has to be, again, a balance. It has to come from somewhere else in the balance sheet. We talked last week about the line in Too Big to Fail. They will lend it, won't they? But what they've done instead is built up the banks' enormous reserve balances with the Federal Reserve. So if you go to that last sentence there before the notes, you'll see reserve balances with Federal Reserve banks plus $28 billion for the week, but minus $582 billion for the year.
Yeah, I see that. What does that mean?
So when the bank's reserve balances go down, it means that they've taken money out of their reserves and pumped it into circulation, either through business loans or trading activities or whatever they do. So think about it this way. The Treasury has been selling record numbers of bonds, bills, and notes for the last year.
Borrowing money.
But the Federal Reserve has not been buying. So who's been buying? Where's the money come from to give the federal government all this money to spend that it doesn't collect in taxation? And there's your answer on the last line. Reserve balances with Federal Reserve banks. It's last year at this time, it was $2.3 trillion. And now it's $1.6 trillion. So it's like the banks have withdrawn nearly $600 billion of the money that they had on deposit at the Fed, not loaned, and put it into their books. so that they can replace the quantitative easing that the Federal Reserve. So think of it this way. The owners of the Federal Reserve Bank have taken the place of the Federal Reserve Bank. So while the Federal Reserve Bank is telling the press, we're withdrawing money from circulation, we're running off our balance sheet, we're raising interest rates, doing everything we can to control inflation.
Right.
The owners of the institution are taking the opposite tack. They're taking their reserve dollars and they're buying treasury debt. So,
oh, I see, like Goldman Sachs and Citi and those people. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, this week, of course, bank earnings came out, and naturally, with banks buying treasury bonds and bills and notes in the face of rising interest rates, what do you think they're doing? They're losing money. They're certainly not meeting their revenue goals. So, this is bank week. I think we had JP and Citi have already reported their earnings. Their earnings per share are down. Their total revenue is down, naturally. And now the rest of the banks are going to report today, tomorrow, the next day. And it's just not going to be the rosy picture that many had thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the balance sheet and how these guys work, you can see, I saw an article, it was pretty cool, about with the long-term capital management thing, what was that, 1998?
Oh, yeah.
Tell folks
smartest
about that.
Guys in the whole room.
That's a hedge fund. And what happened there?
Well, I think it had three or four PhD-level economists on there. I mean, it was a board like no other that made all of these outlandish bets because they were all so doggone smart. And instead, they wound up multiplying their losses to such a degree that it literally put them out of business and, in fact, threatened the entire financial system.
In 1998,
when they were just getting their training wheels. They went broke. We bailed them out.
Oh, we did. Well, yeah. we should do that. We should do it. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We're with Andrew Goss. And if you'd like to be on the show, you can join by either calling, which nobody does anymore because it doesn't involve your thumbs. And I understand, but you can use your index finger and do that thing. Oh, no. And just press a button. But also, of course, just patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Did a whole thing on detox yesterday. And also had quite an interesting conversation with Nasha Winters a few days ago on cancer that I really recommend y'all listen to. I think it's Monday, a two-hour job on cancer. And even yesterday with Dr. Conant on fluoride. And it's a cinch that that sweating is a great way to get rid of yuck stuff in the body. That's a medical term, yuck stuff. If you'd like to get one of these saunas, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. They're personal. They get very hot, 160, 170. Far infrared lights, low EMFs, personal. You sit in there with your head outside, no plumbing, and you can see what they look like on our sauna page. And $11.95 is the regular thing, but if you just email me, we can sell it to you for $9.95 in the contiguous United States, the lower 48, and we can ship them all over the world with the proper plug. If you live in the UK or live in Ireland or Japan, we ship them all over the world, and they ship right from Taiwan, and the extra shipping is not all that much, a couple hundred bucks. So you can, if you live in England right now listening to us or a podcast, you get yourself with the EU plug for about the same thing that we sell them, you know, the retail price, $11.95. Just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll work it out. Previously with Daniel Vitalis on one of our premier products.
And pine pollen comes in at this time in history as this important player in the herbal world, in our pharmacopoeia, in our apothecary, providing us with male hormones. And it's not because we want to become MMA meatheads who just, testosterone. It's nothing like that. It's that we need testosterone to have healthy motivation levels, to have vigor, to feel purpose. And when a person's testosterone levels get really low, they get kind of depressed, lethargic. They start to wonder what the point of life is. They start going around saying, I just need to feel more energy. Right. Do you know what I can take for more energy? And often it's just low testosterone levels. So pine pollen is just this crucial player. And we've brought it to market, it must have been 6 years ago now, and it has been wildly successful because it's helping so many people.
Well, it's very popular around here, as you know. The pine pollen gold is the main product. And if you want to leverage its potency even more, 4-P's, they call it. Has some stinging nettle and some other good things, which kicks it up a notch. Click and order any Sir Thrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay, kids, the real world of money with Andrew Ross, Patrick Timpone. Andrew's a currency historian, nationally recognized one of that. He has two books, Secret World of Money, Uncle Sam Cooks the Books, and working on a third monetary history of the United States. And we are live here January 16, 2019. So I think it's fair to say that most of our listeners probably have whatever stuff they've got if they're not into, you know, in the stock market. That's probably a fair, don't you think, you know, with 401ks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, you don't recommend that a lot because you'd rather see them in some numismatic coins, which you sell. Right. I mean, because you think it's a lot smarter, and, you know, it's probably. So if the Fed, doesn't start creating some dollars, if this thing starts going souther than it is that a word, souther? More south than it, south than it is, and prop things up with more quantitative easing, more money printing, maybe not do these interest rate hikes that they say they might want to do, one or two. Would you predict they're going to do this year?
Four.
Oh, you say they're going to do four. Okay. So if they don't do that, then that would mean that the stock market could take a pretty good hit this year. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair to say. I mean, yeah. Like a lot? Like.
Well, yeah.
Who knows?
Let's just say it's topped. So, I mean, I think it'd be enough to say that. It might move sideways for a while. They could still essentially shake out a few more bits of profits. And looking at the earnings reports on the banking stuff, for example, most of the gains were due to efficiencies, you know, where they tightened up on whatever, how many paper clips they buy you know, like that. So they can squeeze that last little bit of earnings out of a poor operation. So, you know, just like you could with the government, you start reviewing how we do everything and realize you could save money here, you could save money there, and so forth. And, you know, when you're fat and making money, you don't worry about those sorts of things. But, boy, the minute the revenues start to fall, that's when you go back through the company and try to squeeze out efficiencies just at every level. And that's what the banks have done largely in the last year. So maybe those efficiencies will help them. It certainly helped them this quarter. But historically, that first quarter is bad in the banking business. So I would just keep an eye on the banks once again.
Uh-huh. But you got, you know, if you're going to keep piling on debt like the corporations, corporate debt has doubled in the last 10 years? That's crazy, isn't it? Is that correct
it's
number?
It's free money, Patrick. It's free.
Wow.
Maybe you didn't hear. The money was free.
Free.
You know,
take 0.25 or even,
yeah, take
even free,
all you
right?
want.
Yeah,
take all you want. And so this has been, this is why I advise people that while the central bank was manipulating the interest rates to unnatural lows, that's the time that they want to take advantage and lock in some of that long-term debt. And corporations did exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you've taught us that back in 1929 when I was just a kid. Or I was a pre-kid.
I was a pre-kid.
That this thing was engineered. Even Ben Bernanke agrees with you. He did his PhD thing.
Well, certainly. Yeah, the recovery was prevented on purpose.
Yeah. At that point, did they not, the people that engineered it, didn't they buy a lot of stuff?
Oh, sure they did.
They did. So they.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So could the same thing be going on again? They're just going to do the same thing, and we're just going to buy a lot of stuff and get this one world government we really want and dearly love.
Well, that,
and all that
see,
thing?
That was that was the real issue, right? What we accepted, to get the system restarted, right? I mean, they've closed effectively the redemption of your paper money into real money, gold and silver coin. So if you think about what Roosevelt did, is he said, okay, everybody turn in your gold.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we're going to buy it from you for $20 an ounce.
I'm going.
And then
I'm going to do that in the morning.
Right. And then the price went up to $40 an ounce.
You got to love that one.
Yielding a massive amount of revenue or windfall profit, if you will, for the federal government.
That was in 1933?
By 33.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had 30% unemployment. Half of the banks were out of business.
Wow.
So something needed to be done. And so Roosevelt recalled gold, which is the effect of a 50% tax on your stuff. You know, that's what it was.
What do you mean? So,
well, because he bought the gold from you at $20, and then next it's worth $40.
Yeah. Oh, I
stole,
see.
Yeah. Yeah. Took. Procured.
Why don't they do that now, you know?
Well,
give you $1,300
they might.
Make it 26.
Don't give them any ideas.
Make it 2,600. That's what I would do, man.
Yeah. Don't give them any
but,
ideas.
But, you know, people wouldn't bring it in today, though.
They wouldn't have to, Patrick. This is the problem.
What do you mean?
It's already in. So, you know, if you look at you've got your little computer there, right? Total shares of GLD outstanding, right?
Okay.
It's an enormous number because Americans have largely ignored the idea of physical possession, gold and silver. Let alone physical possession, gold and silver coins.
GLD is the exchange traded fund, right?
Correct.
And I got. Did you mean total shares of GLD extend? Yeah, I did. What did I ask you? Do you want
outstanding.
The SPDR gold shares outstanding?
That's another one.
No, that's another one. Oh. I don't know. Market cap, do we want that?
Well, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that and, you know, get an idea of, it's an exchange-traded fund. I think all of them combined or, you know, you got the iShares, which is the IAU. You got gold, GLD. But I'm going to say about $40 billion worth of America's gold is electronic. They owe it to you and there it is. So if the federal government recalls gold, I guess the point I was trying to make is all of those people will turn your interest over without even asking you. You don't have to worry about
you
it.
You mean if you have GLD exchange-traded funds,
correct.
If somebody does something really persnickety with gold, you're just
correct.
Cooked.
Well, yeah.
Because they'll just do whatever they want.
Correct. You say, oh, nobody's going to turn it in.
I mean, I see what you're saying.
They'll turn it in for you. You don't have to worry about it. That's done for you. So I believe there's 350 million ounces or 350 million shares of GLD last I checked.
Let's see. I just can't find the website I want because I got all these different websites driving me nuts. You know, I just can't.
Yeah.
Just tell me how many shares are out there, dude.
Yeah, right? You know? I think last I checked it was around 350. So
350 million
shares.
Oh, times 1,300, right?
No, one share of GLD is a tenth of an ounce of gold.
Oh, okay.
So you got 35 million ounces held just in that fund alone,
mm-hmm.
right?
And so, there's a bunch of these, right?
Yeah, and there's a bunch, right? Yeah. But the point is that it wouldn't be up to you, the individual, to turn your gold over. They would do it for you. They being, you know, the Spider Shares, whoever is sponsoring.
Oh, SPDR.
Thing.
I see that one here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gold Trust, iShares.
Yeah.
We have the NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF, IBB.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, but that's just the exchange traded funds. Now you've got the gold contracts and futures and options trading through the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission, CFTC. So all of that gold, so that's when I talk to people, you have gold? Oh, yeah, I have gold.
Oh,
tell
yeah,
me what kind. Yeah, I've got gold. Here it is right on my brokerage statement. So all of those fiduciaries that are holding the gold for all of those investors would simply turn the gold over. Okay, and so then the government says, okay, and from this day forward, it's illegal for an individual or a corporation to own or trade gold.
Hmm.
It's strictly a federal strategic metal. And so they are the gold trader for the nation. And then gold doubles in price immediately. And of course, that all the gold they hold doubles in price. So now they have all this extra money. And in the case of Roosevelt, he simply poured it back into the Works Projects Administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and things of that nature, where he employed hundreds of thousands of people to, you know, all right, you dig a hole, you fill the hole back in, and you watch these guys dig the hole and fill the hole back in. So essentially, make work was created. Stuff that might have been low on the priority list of things that we need to do as a nation, but were, what did they call them last time? Shovel-ready jobs. Shovel-ready jobs, where, you know, so, and think of Ocasio.
Occasional Cortex?
Yeah. Occasional Cortex. Uh-huh. Her and her.
I love that.
Her and her New Deal, New Green Deal.
Oh, man.
You know, it smacks of Roosevelt. So in the event of such an event, in the event of such a crisis, maybe, I don't know, manufactured crisis, there would be plenty of people out of work for her to employ as part of her Green Deal initiative. So we're going to shut down anything that burns coal. We're going to, you know, get rid of anything that burns gas. We're going to replace it all with electric stuff. And then we're going to generate the electricity with solar panels. And so forth.
But this lady is simply, she's a rising star, and she seems like the media
she
loves her.
She didn't come up with this.
Right,
she didn't
come up with this. Because they're globalized, right? The media is a globalist. So they love her, and she's right. Just everywhere. I mean, I don't have a TV. I can only imagine. Is she on all the TV shows, too?
And she's everywhere.
She's everywhere. Right. But she's just like a representative from New York or
spokesman.
Something.
Spokesman.
Oh, she's just like
spokeswoman.
They said, we're going to just put you out there, girl, and, you know, do the thing.
Yeah, here, we're going to try to teach you what we're contemplating. But, you know, I assure you, this is not her idea.
Well, it's only because she has occasionally has the cortex, you know. That's because, God love her, I tell you what, man. I mean, is it even possible that this thing could really get that upside down? I mean, really, come on, you and I are buddies. What do you think? Could it really get that upside down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we can.
Wow. Man.
Yeah.
Where's the lifeboats?
Well, let me just tell you where the Green New Deal is coming from.
Yeah.
The United Nations Environment Program.
Oh, yeah.
UNEP. Yeah. Brought to you by the UNEP.
I mean, how much President Trump loves the United Nations, so it should be a good match.
Yeah.
Every time you even mention the UN to him, President Trump's face just goes white. You know, come on.
I'm with him.
Well, I am too.
Them,
I mean, we know some
we don't
of the
want
spooky
to let those
stuff,
guys,
these guys
give them some jurisdiction in this nation, but it is a fact that the UN is behind this global Green New Deal initiative. It's not Ocasio's idea. So, folks, check it out before you get all behind it, as I know many of you folks that really like
good.
The environment.
Oh, I understand.
Make sure you understand where it's coming from, for sure.